take your Bibles and open it to the book of Matthew. Also, go ahead and mark. Mark and Luke, because we'll be looking at those three books as we begin our study on Wednesday night, looking at the Gospels. Then on Sunday, we'll be looking at the book of John. So the way we're going to approach our study in the Gospels is take three books on Wednesday night, one book on Sunday, the book of John. And as we begin the study and get into the study, and we get past the birth and the work of John the Baptist, we get past the birth and the adult, and get to the adulthood of Christ, we're going to divide that into three sections. We're going to be talking about his early ministry. We're going to be talking about his middle of his ministry and then the end of his ministry. So we'll basically divide the life of Christ in three sections as we examine it in the Gospels. And then once we leave the Gospels, we'll get into Acts as a standalone epistle. One of the things that you're going to notice as you begin looking at Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you're going to notice that they were written earlier than John. John would have been the latest of the Gospels written. Most people think that the book of Matthew was written about 42. The other two, Luke and Mark, around 50. 60 A.D. Many think that the book of John was written as late as 90-95 A.D. while John was on the while John was living in Ephesus. Remember, we tried to set the tone on Sunday for this particular study as we closed out the Old Testament. We said that we were really reaching the climax of our study. The climax of a study that began back in Genesis 1:1, followed all the way through the Old Testament. And remember, we said we were going to use what as our text scripture? Galatians 4:4. So basically, that time is right. As we looked at those 400 years, the 400 years as we would call dark time, no revelation, there was a lot going on in not only the history of the world, but a lot going on in Jewish history. For example, one of the things that we're going to notice once we begin the earthly ministry of Jesus, we're going to see how the Jewish people had divided up into four sects. And basically, by the time of Jesus' adulthood, it had narrowed itself down to two: Pharisees and the Sadducees. You're going to notice as we begin these studies how that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and mainly the Pharisees, had really created and developed upon themselves their own traditions. Traditions that weren't necessarily taught under the old law, but traditions that they had built themselves. And so we'll see how their traditions opposes the Gospels and the earthly ministry of Jesus. Now, remember also we talked about Matthew and we talked about Luke giving us the genealogies of Jesus. In which way did Matthew begin his genealogy? What lineage did it fall upon? What? Pardon?
David.
Okay, it was David's, but of
Joseph.
Joseph, absolutely. Matthew traces Joseph's lineage as being from the seed of David. Now, who was chosen? Mary's husband. Who else? Pardon? Jesus' earthly father. Now, Luke takes it a little bit differently. How does Luke trace it? Through Mary. Absolutely. He traces it from Mary. So basically, in essence, what the Holy Spirit was doing through those two genealogies was making the argument so that no one could deny what? That Jesus was not from the seed of David. Now, we're also going to notice that if you look at the account in Matthew, if you wanted to do some math, you could trace the age of the earth. Have you ever heard people talk about the age of the earth?
All the time.
You know, we take our grandchildren down at Walmart and you pick up a book on dinosaurs and you open that book up and what does it say about the old dinosaur? He was billions and billions and billions of years old. But remember, we started this particular study with the understanding that the Bible was a book about God, sin, and redemption. And that it was inspired by God, which means it was God's breathing. And we have trust in the Bible. So if we have trust in the Bible, one of the things you'll notice as you look at the breakdown of the genealogy of Jesus in the book of Matthew, you'll notice that it records from Abraham and records 42 generations divided into three groups of 14 each. So you've got three groups of generations with 14 generations in each group. You go from Abraham to David. You go from David to the Babylonian captivity. And you go from the Babylonian captivity to Christ. So you can kind of get very close to the age of the earth if you do some work and some math and kind of add figures up. You can go, you know, from that standpoint. Now notice, if you will, as we began our study in the book of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, what we're going to do is kind of take the first section of the life of John the Baptist and the life of Jesus, and that's going to involve their not only birth, but what? Their conception. Notice, if you will, what it says beginning after the genealogy of Matthew chapter 1. It says beginning in verse 18 of Matthew chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. No, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Now remember, if you will, we talked about as we went through the Old Testament how that it was going to help us and kind of clear up a lot of things, or we would just see things a little clearer than normal. But it hasn't been any time that we were studying from the book of Isaiah. And lo and behold, we start the first chapter of the book of Matthew, and the first thing Matthew does is quote from Isaiah the 7th chapter, and beginning in about verse 14, talking about Isaiah's prophecy about the virgin birth of this person that would be, of this son that would be born of a virgin. Remember, that's going to be the solution to the problem of sin. That's the reason we chose to take scripture, Galatians 4:4, where it talks about this man Jesus being born of a Jewish woman. Now notice, if you will, let's back up just a little bit. What did we learn about this particular arrangement or this particular marriage? Remember, if you will, under the old Jewish system, unlike our marriages today, when you are engaged to a woman to marry them, it is if you had already married. Now, the married date may not be until a later time, but for all practical purposes, as far as the Jewish law is concerned, Mary and Joseph were married before the ceremony ever took place. But in the meantime, between the engagement of this marriage, when they chose one another, and the ceremony itself, what happened to Mary? She became with child. Now, if you just look at Matthew's account alone, could it be confusing? It very well could be. All right, now let's turn over just a second to Mark's account. Now notice, if you will, how Mark begins. We've got, in Matthew's account, we've got Mary and Joseph having some problems that they're having to work out. Joseph finds out that his wife-to-be is pregnant with a child. Now, he learns by inspiration in a dream that this child is by who?
Holy Ghost.
By the Holy Spirit. Now, that automatically creates problems to us. Because you see, when we think about marriage, we think about a husband and a wife. And we think about the two having a child. But now we've got a wife here that is pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And here's Joseph, the husband, thinking, well, now wait just a minute. Never heard of anything like this before. What are you trying to pull over my eyes? Now, it tells you something about his character and his nature, because what could he have done with her? Yeah, he could have exposed her publicly and literally had her stoned to death. So the vision comes to him in a dream. He learns that this is a miraculous conception. Yes.
And it must have been pretty convincing to him, because
yes,
he didn't even question it.
Absolutely. He never even questioned. That's exactly right.
Was it just in a dream, or did he have, you know, was there
a vision
or anything that appeared before him? Like, didn't the name appear before Mary at one point in time?
Notice, if you will, it says, it says in verse 19 that Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. So an angel tells him in a dream that not to worry about her. There was nothing wrong in what she's done. In essence, you just imagine what a